Welcome to Third Eye Science. I'm your host, Susan Von Toon, and in this podcast, we'll explore the lines between science and spirituality. As a scientist and a yogi, I've found that these two realms do not have to be mutually exclusive. With the mind of a logical scientist, I've navigated my own spiritual journey with a curious and open mind. I'll share lessons and tools that I've found along the way, and have compelling conversations with spiritual leaders, teachers, yogis, and fellow travelers about their experiences and practices. In this age of information and misinformation, it's time to interpret and understand the world with your third eye. Thank you for listening to previous episodes, and thank you so much for those of you who have written reviews and rated the show and then given me comments. I really appreciate it. It's been really helpful. I hope it has been helpful for you to listen. I was thinking about what to talk about, and I have so many different ideas in my head, but one of the things that kept coming up in the last few days for me is programming. So we have all this programming. It's just like our head is a computer, and we've programmed it to do and believe certain things, and we often don't even know that that's what we're doing. It may not even be a program that you wrote. It may be a program that your parents wrote, or even your ancestors, or society, culture. I was listening to a podcast where it was a woman who was the social media director for PETA. And I don't think she's doing that anymore, but that's where she started. And she was talking about how, like, what are you, you know, when you're managing social media, because I am a social media manager for work, but I'm also doing social media for this podcast and for my personal brand. And when I say brand, I have air quotes around that, because I really hate the idea of, like, me as a person being a brand. But the truth is, in the social media world, that is kind of what you're doing. It's like you're building your brand of what you want to say on social media. And so she said, well, what is your mission? And I hadn't really thought of that yet in terms of my own personal mission or the mission of this podcast. But really, what it came down to, and I know I've mentioned this in previous episodes, but it's like the Matrix, right? In the movie. My mission is to help people to, like, break out of the matrix, because I think that so much of what we do in our lives is just because we've been told that's how it is and that's what we do. And I also think that there is nothing that is more scientific than questioning things. So that's me, the scientist, saying, no, wait a minute. Why do we have to do it this way? Just because everyone says this is the way we've always done it. And, you know, I just really think that a true scientist would be willing to look at the world from a different perspective and try to solve problems from a different perspective. So, with that in mind, I'm going to talk about some of the things that I've realized that I've been programmed, whether by myself or by things. Often, actually, I was listening to a podcast with Bruce Lipton, who is he is one of the world experts in epigenetics, and he was talking about how essentially most of the programming that happens is from ages 0 to 7. And it's interesting because that kind of lines up with developmental, if you study child development, those are really, Zuzu's, now she's purring near the mic. It's a really critical time in our lives, is that 0 to 7, where we're essentially setting these habits of neural pathways at those ages. And so there are lots of things that may or may not have happened in your life that you don't even remember. And yet they have a very profound effect on the way you look at the world. And so I have, in doing all of this work, where I really am trying to reprogram myself and my my own, essentially break outside of these boxes, the matrix, like, and understand that we can do so much more. Really, the only thing that limits us is our mind. And so one of the things that came up for me this past year, I've done a lot of work on my kind of just resentments in the 12 steps. When in doing the 12 steps, one of the steps is looking at your resentments, and you make a list and you look at what you're holding on to, essentially. And in doing that, you also look at your part in it. And so what is it that is making you continue to react the way you've always reacted to that situation or that person, or be triggered by certain things that remind you of it? And so I've done a ton of work on that. I've done a ton of work in Kundalini yoga, in Kundalini yoga, we're moving energy in ways that we can actually clear some of these things. The other thing Bruce Lipton was talking about, that the main ways of reprogramming yourself is you can do it by hypnotism, but I don't know very many people that are like going out and getting hypnotized. I guess there is self-hypnosis. I know that Lacey Phillips' work, a lot of her work is working on the subconscious, so you're sort of reprogramming yourself in these deep imaginings that she takes you through. So that's a way to do it. Kundalini yoga and meditation, I think, is another really efficient way of doing it. I've never done any kind of, like, I personally don't think that talk therapy can get you there, because you're not going deep enough. Maybe some therapists can get you there, but it does seem to me there is some energetic practice that must be employed in order to get to the subconscious and the unconscious mind. And so my example of this past fall, was it? No, I guess it was the summer, late summer. It was during the Kavanaugh hearings. So if you remember when Brett Kavanaugh was being, he was nominated for the Supreme Court, and Christine Blasey Ford basically came out and said that he had sexually assaulted her when they were in college, I believe, or high school. And it was just such an example of, like, at the highest level. Now, this woman who is, I believe she's a psychotherapist. She's definitely a PhD. She is basically has to stand on trial and retell this very traumatic experience that she had. And the whole, in front of the entire country, in front of the Senate, it was like literally any woman's worst nightmare. And the reason why it ignited just so much anger in so many women is because so many of us can relate. And it's really, really shocking, the statistics of how many women have been sexually assaulted in their lives. But when you go back to the exactly what was happening is like, okay, you get sexually assaulted. He doesn't actually have to deal with any consequences of it. And you essentially get persecuted for telling the truth about what happened. And it just brought up all these things for so many women. And so during that day, I remember just feeling so, I was just keeping it together. It was a Thursday. I remember I was at work and I was just, I could feel the collective angst of, you know, the women of the world, essentially, certainly the women of this country. And I really thought, you know, I'm an empath. This is part of what I signed up for. I'm here. I'm helping to process these emotions. And I kind of held it together as much as I could at work. And then I just came home. I remember, like, on my way home, all I wanted to do was literally curl up in a ball and get into bed. And so I did that. And I just, I honestly thought I was doing my part and, like, okay, I'm going to help our collective just kind of release this anger and this pain and this trauma. And it was so intense and so visceral. I just started sobbing, and I had been working with, there were a few things that I'd been working on at this time. Within that, I think it was 72 hours, like 48 hours before, I had done a session with a Kundalini yoga and Satnam Rasayan practitioner. Her name is Paramatma Sirisadana, and she does these, it's essentially like distance healing on the full moons and the new moons. And I felt called 2 days earlier. I had felt called to do this session with her. She basically gives you an assignment. You write down what you're letting go, and then you send it to her, and then she basically does her energy work on the collective group who signed up for the session. And so that had happened. At the same time, I was also working with my chiropractor. She's a practitioner in spinal network analysis, which is using, so they don't physically manipulate the body. Like, they're not cracking your bones like a chiropractor, like you think about. They're using energy and essentially reteaching your body the different energetic systems in your body how to connect. And so I had been doing that for quite a few months. I was in the middle of this, you know, just a few days into this session with Paramama. And then I also had been practicing my Kundalini yoga and going super deep all summer long. And so as I'm laying in bed sobbing, I'm like, okay, my chiropractor had said, Dr. Peg had said, try, because I was having neck, throat, shoulder issues, and it definitely all corresponds to the throat chakra and communication, and also my heart. We had talked about how I would sleep on my side, kind of curled up and let my shoulders hunch, and it was causing this tightness in my shoulders and my upper back. And so she was encouraging me to sleep on my back, which was really, you know, I'd been sleeping on my side my entire life. But it made me realize that sleeping on my side and curling up and hunching my shoulders, I was protecting my heart from something. And so I thought of that as I was having this moment during the Kavanaugh hearings. I was like, okay, open your heart. And I rolled over in bed and I opened my heart, and it just like, it again, this visceral release of like pain and trauma. And I just realized, I was like, this isn't just the collective, you know, I'm not just empathically feeling this. This is personal. Like there's something here. And I don't know what it is. So I let it all out. I just like invited it up and out. And then when I felt like I'd released a lot, I sat down in meditation and I asked myself, like, what is this? What is this? And I honestly thought that it might have been some sort of past life thing. I wasn't sure. I literally had no idea. Like, in my mind, nothing, you know, aside from the normal things that women in our society deal with, I hadn't had any, like, specific sexual trauma. And so, but I really trusted myself I knew that this moment was happening for a reason, and I just let it come and I asked myself. And so what came was a memory from me as a 4-year-old. And as it turns out, we had a babysitter who he didn't touch me, but he masturbated in front of me. And then he encouraged me to masturbate. I was 4 years old. And I'm not telling this story because it feels good or because I want sympathy or anything. I'm telling this story because I want to walk you through my process, and it may help somebody. And it all ties back to this programming that we have in our lives that sometimes we don't even know. And so when I realized what it was, like, I knew exactly, I remember, it was very rare for us to have a babysitter. I have 2 sisters, I'm in the middle. My mom was a stay-at-home mom when we were really young, and my grandfather lived with us, so we very rarely had a babysitter, but I remember this one. He must have been a teenage boy, and he was from our church, and we loved him. And everybody, like, I remember seeing him in church years later, when he'd come home for Christmas or something, and I remember my mom always saying, "Oh, everybody always loved you," and you know, so I mean, this came as a huge shock to me. And honestly, what was most shocking was that it was not present in my mind. Like, it was so buried and locked away that I had no idea. I had never even once, even in all the work in the 12 steps, all of the work I had done, I had never once had some inkling of, like, there's something that I'm not remembering. I never had that. Like, it was really locked away. I had very successfully, which is because that is what we do, right? We take our trauma and we put it deep down and we lock it away so that we don't have to deal with it. And it can be very effective. And some people live their entire lives that way. But for me, because I'm doing all this work and really bringing up everything, it came up. But honestly, even in the moment, I just saw it as this amazing opportunity to heal. And so I just, what I did that weekend was, like, I had the next day, I let myself cry that night, all night, I think. And then the next day I had an appointment with Dr. Peg, and I told her, and, you know, she, of course, was one of the people that I trusted that I could tell and that would actually have some, you know, useful, I don't know, useful feedback, because most people don't know how to deal with something like that. And so, and I think I told one other person and that was it. And I didn't, then that whole weekend, I spent the entire weekend, I just let myself sleep and rest and cry if I felt like it. And, I don't even think I did a lot of, like, I'm not even going to say that I did a ton of writing or processing. I just let myself be, like, feel it. Feel the feelings. And it was really hard, but I have to say that. So then the next day was a Friday. Yeah, it was a 3-day weekend for me. And then Monday, I came back. I felt a little bit of an emotional hangover. I'm sure you guys know what I mean when I say that. You've probably had one too. But by the, like, midweek, I can honestly say that it was processed and gone. And I don't mean that in a, like, I, you know, like, okay, I'm locking that back up. I mean, it came up and out. And to be honest, like, these little, you can probably tell that I'm a little bit choked up. Like, this is the first time I've actually cried over it since then, I think. Because I'm not a victim to it. It just is something that happened, and I'm so grateful that I was able to let it come up and release. And I also have no, like, there's just, like, who know? I don't even know the kid's, the boy's last name. Like, I certainly have no desire to, or, you know, I have no anger or resentment towards him, because the truth is, like, what happened to him in his life that he would do something like that to a 4-year-old girl? I don't know. But, you know, the truth is that everyone's got some sort of trauma. And it also gave me a lot of insight about So bringing us back to programming is it gave me insight about how I act towards men and how I have had trust issues for my entire life. And I really didn't know why. My dad was a challenging person, and I definitely always wanted acknowledgement and approval from him. And I thought that that was what informed my interactions with men. But I always felt like there was something missing. And this childhood trauma just like put in that last puzzle piece. And it was like, oh, this is why I'm protecting myself, why I'm not really trusting in any kind of relationship with a man, letting them in and really allowing myself to be myself, because there was this peace, this innocent peace that got locked away, and I'm protecting her. I read this, I was reading this thing on Instagram recently. It said, it was actually from Paramahansa Sirisadana. It said, you don't have to apologize for protecting your innocence. You know, I honestly didn't know that I would. I knew this story would come up at some point, and that I would share it because it needed to be shared. And hopefully it helps someone that hears this, but really, now what I'm seeing is that this process right now is that last bit of healing to me, just like telling the world, and now I'm free. Like, this thing does not ever have to rear up, you know, again. It's just not something I have to worry about ever again. And so I just wanted to bring it back to this programming that we react, we do things out of habit, and we react to things out of habit. And so, for me, meditation and just self-inquiry has really given me this opportunity and this ability to see, to, like, watch myself, you know, see these habits that I do or these programs that I've gotten into. And it has allowed me, I think that's the first step, right, is seeing, oh, this is what I do every time this X happens. Why is my reaction? And so I'm not saying that you have to fix yourself or that I have fixed myself. I'm saying that it's really an acceptance. It's accepting yourself. Just like that episode on radical acceptance, like radically accepting yourself, all of you, including your traumas and your baggage and your pain and your fear. And that is how you can transcend it. because we're all spiritual beings having a human experience. We're not prisoners to our emotions. But our emotions can inform who we are. And so you get to choose today, well, who do I want to be? Do I want to be the victim of this, all of the things that have happened in my life? Do I want to be the victim of my own emotional reaction to things? That's not who I want to be. And so that's why every single day I start the day giving myself some time to clear some of that bullshit. Because a lot of it is my own bullshit. It's like, I'm creating this reality. Yes, things happen, but I don't have to live in that past anymore. And so it's just, for me, having that daily morning practice it gets me closer to neutral. That's another thing that I've realized is what, like, where I want to be is neutral. There's not, yes, there are times in our life for bliss and serenity and happiness and joy, and there are times for the opposite of that. But where I want to always come back to is that neutral place where when things happen, I can just go with the flow. It makes life a lot easier. And I guess I just invite you to consider, what is it that you are programming yourself to do? Number one. Number two, what are you allowing others to program in you? And what would happen if you unplugged from the matrix and stopped believing all of the things that everyone tells us and started questioning and started really going inward, getting your answers from within? Because we all have those answers. You don't need a spiritual teacher, a guru, to tell you all these teachings, because the truth is you have it within you. But what most of us do need is someone that helps us unlock those things within ourselves. And so when I think about what kind of a spiritual teacher I want to be, that's what I want to be, is neutral and someone that helps other people unlock their own wisdom. Okay, I think I'm going to keep it short today, because that was really freaking intense. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any comments, or if this story triggered anything in you, feel free to contact me. The easiest place is on Instagram, Third Eye Science. And again, if you would tell your friends about the podcast, rate and review, I would really appreciate it. And that is the number one thing you can do to help with the podcast. And again, I just encourage you to open your eyes, open your third eye, and look within. You know more than you believe you do. Love to all. Satnam.